Your noontime look at the financial world. What's trending in Chicago business? The midday numbers. John has the Wintrust Business Lunch now. Money,
money. Some of that, et cetera, coming up on the Wintrust Business Lunch today. It's a Friday. We're going to treat it like a Wednesday when Terry Savage, the money lady, joins us. She's got thoughts about your Social Security. We've got questions about the markets and your money. That's all coming up next on WGN. Terry Savage is here. Speaking of your money, by the way, your debt as well. Terry, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I want to give you a preview of the column I'm writing right now. It's about credit card debt. Listen closely. Credit card debt was at a record high before the holiday shopping season, $1.17 trillion. It's a chart that just goes straight up from the bottom of the recession, the pandemic in 2020, 2021, when we paid so much debt down. It's like 25% higher. People swore they'd never get in debt again. They are. This year, credit card balances before the shopping season were over 8% higher than a year ago. Now, that's according to the Federal Reserve Bank. Listen to this. According to NerdWallet, 28% of credit card users had not paid off the gifts they bought last year. That was back in September. They were still paying last year's.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And now, WalletHub, just the latest report this week, as of December 2024, the average rate on existing credit card balances, 23.37%. Some are paying less. Some are transferring to low-rate cards for a while or no-interest rate cards for a while. Others are paying over 30% on department store cards. Now, this is a pandemic. This is a pandemic that will destroy your financial future. So, I give you two recipes for getting out. One is do it yourself. John, you've heard me say this before. I'm about to post this on the homepage of terrysavage.com when I finish this column. The first recipe is just line up all your credit card debts. All the bills are going to come in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Do not just pile them up unopened. Make a list. This Visa, this MasterCard, this store card. Here's the total. For each card, write, this is the interest rate, and this is the minimum monthly payment. Now pick one or two cards, the cards with the highest rate. Take the current minimum monthly payment. Is it $112? Is it $71? Take that amount and double it. Okay, 71? Nope, 142. Write that amount down. If you will take that one card and keep paying double the current month, not double the next month's minimum, but the number you've just written down, you will pay off that balance in less than 3 years and save a fortune in interest. If you only pay the minimums, it can drag on to 30 years. That's being buried in debt. So if you take each card and attack it, don't charge another penny. Take that list. After you've finished one card or two cards of doubled minimum monthly payments, attack the next one. That's the secret. If you are totally buried, do not go to those credit consolidation companies. You're going to just remember how you saw those Medicare late night ads. Oh, we'll pay for your dental. We'll pay for this. Somebody's getting rich off that. The next round of late night ads are, you're awake thinking about your debt. We'll consolidate your debt for you. Well, you don't have to pay anything else. It'll destroy your life and might even get your wages garnished or a lien on your home. So instead of that kind of late night ad, go to the Consumer Credit Counseling Services, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, 800-388-2227. You'll see that all up at terrysavage.com. If you will face up to it, you can fix it. If bankruptcy is the only answer, the credit counseling services will help you through that process. But they can also work out a debt repayment plan, not the kind that destroys you, although it does go on your credit report, but that makes your creditors know they're going to get a little bit every month. You pay one check every month to the counseling service, and they send it out to your creditors. It works. I've seen it around the country, done speaking tours for them. You can get out from under your debt if you'll face up to it. That's Savage Truth. That's the end of the show.
Well,
I just wanted to say that.
No, that should be the start of everybody's New Year's, what it should be. And
right.
But you know, you say it, and I think on some degree people go, yeah, we know it. and that's harder to do than you would imagine. I don't have the money to double the payment, number one. The other thing
let's stop right there.
Fine.
You nailed it, as usual. John, you always do that. I was thinking that as I said it, because someone always calls in later and says, how do you think that if I'm in debt and I can't pay off my credit card at 71?
How do you think I got here?
How do I get the extra 71? This is the challenge right this minute now. Really serious look at how you spend your time and what you do. Now, a second job, there are jobs available. There are still people that, you know, if you work weekends, if you're home with your kids, take a neighbor's kids. Drive a senior citizen who may have the money, but not the wherewithal to get to the store. There are ways you can raise if it was an extra $100 a month, it's $25 a week you have to figure out how to earn. I'm not talking about cutting back your spending or giving up smoking. That I assume you're smart enough to do. I'm talking about being very creative about earning enough extra, break it down by the week, to get that doubled payment and get out from under that card.
Terry, that's the other point I was about to make. You cut me off because you were anticipating what I was going to say. And I think that's the other savage but hard truth. It's hard to do the math on the existing income. And then Terry says, well, then go get another job. You need to get a side hustle or some other stream of income. And I think people sometimes roll their eyes at that prospect. But I suppose the question is, what's more painful, the idea that you've got to work more or the idea that you're paying 22% on a credit card and you're going down the rabbit hole? So those are tough decisions at the end of the year, or truths, and we need to face them.
Yeah, and it's not permanent. So you understand, you could do this for a couple of years. The feeling of relief, this is many years ago, it must be at least 20 years ago, that the National Foundation for Credit Counseling, and it was sponsored by Visa, who were very concerned that people were going bankrupt.
I
did a national speaking tour, and it turned into kind of like a revival meeting or a Weight Watchers thing, where people would stand up in the audience because they invited all their clients, as well as putting ads in the paper, learn how to get out of debt and da 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 da. And people would say, I did it. I paid off $9,000. I paid off $15,000. People would cheer. It becomes an incredible accomplishment against a lot of odds and a great feeling when you succeed.
12:38 on a Friday on the Wintrust Business Lunch, a special visit from our friend Terry Savage. TerrySavage.com is the website for the syndicated financial columnist. We call her the Money Lady here at WGN, and we've got lots of texts and calls for you.
Let's do
anything
that
you want to say before
Let me do my sermon on debt. Let's go do as many calls and texts as we can.
Hey, John Williams, Terry Savage said you can avoid saying flex up. It sounds naughty, says Mike. You used the phrase flex up a minute ago, and somebody's making a joke. A person can take 6 months off from the market, Terry, to see where this market is going. Sell-off starts over the Q3. I guess somebody's saying a person can take 6 months off from the market. Don't put money in for the next 6 months.
So, well, the hardest part about doing that is you have to be right, not once, but three times.
Yeah.
You have to be right about when to get out and when to get back in again. So then you have to be thinking about when you get out again. I think that the strategy, better strategy, is to always have the appropriate portion of your money in the market. Yeah, when it goes up a lot, you'll go, oh, why was I leaving that money in T-bills earning 4.3 or 4.4%? But, you know, that's not so bad. I had no risk. And at different stages of your life, and it's not just about how old you are or how close to retirement, you're saving your money for a down payment on the house, then that's not when you want to be risking it in the market. That's a good time to have it in a money market or T-bills or short-term. So I've been around a long time around this market. Every once in a while I'm right, but I'm never right three times in a row, in, out, in again. I've never done that.
How can this listener says, where's, I wanted to get to one of them. Stand by. Turn the page. Here it is. Hey, Terry, I'm 58 years old with a $55,000 income spread over a couple of jobs, and I'll have an extra $5,000 in income this year. How would you recommend I invest the extra $5,000 this year?
Well, I'm going to assume you're probably contributing to a retirement plan at work, but I would suggest that you take that $5,000 if you're qualified based on income and open a Roth IRA. Just go to Fidelity or Vanguard, open a Roth IRA, and then depending on how much exposure you have to the stock market, I would say you have $5,000. On January 15th, put $1,000 in the S&P 500 fund inside your new Roth IRA account. Do it again on February 15th, whether the market's up, down, or sideways, doesn't matter. And do it again over the next 5 months. And then leave it there and let it grow and hope you'll have another $5,000 next year. Because that's how you grow your money. You don't pick this is the moment to get in or not the moment to be in. So great for you for having the extra money. Of course, it starts with having zero credit card debt because average returns on the stock market are 10%, including dividends, and average interest rates on credit cards are 22%, almost 23% now. So the first investment is to pay down your debt.
Terry, is it true that if you make two payments per month on one credit card, it dramatically improves your credit score?
Sure, that's just paying additional, but it gets complicated. They'll accept it. But it gets complicated, and it depends on when they calculate. It depends on how and when they calculate the interest. I like the idea of making double the minimum just before your payment is due for that month.
Yeah.
That for sure gets it in at the right time and time to impact the interest you pay the next month.
I don't know that I have the question worded correctly here, and I don't know if you know the answer, but sometimes Brenda will make an extra payment, either double payment or just put more money in, say on the mortgage. And then the question is, are they applying that to the interest or are they applying that to the principal? And you would want it to be applied to the principal so as to reduce the overall interest calculation. But
yeah.
People
do this very successfully. A lot of people, if you know every month that your mortgage payment is $2,410 and you're going to round it up to $2,500 just because you can, then you need to set it up with your servicer that the additional $90 on a regular basis every month, and they will do that, is applied directly to the principal, not the interest. But you need to set it up with your mortgage servicer. Most mortgages these days do not have a prepayment clause, so you suddenly get $10,000 and you want to take $5,000 of it and pay down your mortgage, fine. But make sure your servicer knows that it's being applied to
the
principal.
Yeah, that's a good point. We had a long conversation.
You don't want to do that if you've got a 4% mortgage.
Say that again, Terry.
And you don't want to be paying it down if you have a 4% mortgage. There's other things you could do to get a better return.
That's interesting. So if this person has a 3.5% or 4% mortgage, and the vast majority of them out there are under 5%, then maybe you should not be making extra payments on your house. You should be either investing or paying off high-interest credit cards.
First, high-interest credit cards. Yeah. Second, investing in a retirement plan.
Let's pick up a couple of phone lines. 312-981-7200 for Terry Savage. Ron, you go first. You're on WGN. What can we do for you?
Yes. Terry, can you give me maybe a couple of pros and cons for employees when the company moves from the traditional defined pension plan to a 401(k)? And maybe, what are some of the benefits to the company? Thank you all very much. Happy holidays.
Okay.
Thank you.
First of all, you have to find out what's happening to your old pension plan. Are they going to keep that going and down the road you will have earned a pension? Or are they asking you to roll it over into a new 401k plan? If it's a nonprofit, they're a 403b, but if you work for a company, it's going to be a 401k plan. Why do they do that? They have an obligation to put in money every year into the pension to make sure the actuaries will figure out this is how much you have to have based on all the employees and so forth. A 401k, it's up to you to contribute to decide how much. Most companies will match some of or all of your contribution. It takes a lot of the burden off a company to switch the burden on to employees. You get what you put in times what you earned, and they should have low costs for their plan, and they should have good investment choices. So the first thing is, what happens to my old pension? Oh, you know, Ron, you're going to get that. Just, you've been here 22 years. Hang in there. You vest it, or you'll get it when you're 60 or whatever it is. Make sure that you still have that old pension. Or if you need to roll it over, then you have to put it into the 401k or perhaps into an IRA if they'll let you do that somewhere else. And then ask about the new plan, the 401k. Does it cost a lot? What are my choices? Employees can get have a lot of input into that if their company is using the guy's brother-in-law to set up a plan and get rich off of it.
Is there a maximum amount you can contribute to those in a year?
Oh, yes, and it's up over $20,000. I'd have to look for 2025. But your biggest problem should be that you hit the maximum that you can contribute to a 401k plan.
Ginger, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. How can we help you, Ginger? Hi.
Hi. Hi, Terry. Hi, John. Thanks for taking my call. I hang on every word. Anyway, I am a retired teacher. I have a TRF pension. And over the years, I've been denied my husband's Social Security death benefits because it was like a windfall or double dipping. Now we have Senator Collins, who has passed a bill waiting for Joe Biden to sign it, that says that they've eliminated this windfall thing, and we should now be able to get our Social Security benefits from spouses, or even that I've worked long enough to get my Social Security benefits. Terry, do you know anything about that?
Well, if you go to terrysavage.com, one of the top two columns is the Social Security Fairness Act passes. It was shocked me. They did this Friday night just before they kept the government from shutting down. And really both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats, agreed that this windfall elimination provision was unfair. So as you correctly described, if you qualified for Social Security by having 10 years, 4 quarters, that is 40 quarters of covered earnings, and a lot of people did and do, and then went into public service, you should have gotten your benefits in full. Or if you didn't qualify based on your own, you should have gotten your spouse's full benefit, not reduced by the fact that you get a public pension. This law does that. Now, the president signed something like 87 bills the other night over the weekend. I am quite sure that they are going to come up with a great ceremony in the next day or two for the president to, you know, make a big deal out of passing the Social Security Fairness Act.
Wow.
I will say that we're still going to have to fix Social Security because I will say two quick things. We're still going to fix Social Security, which in 10 years, now maybe 9.5 years, will be in a not able to pay the full promised benefits unless we do something. The other question is going to be, and I'm sure, Ginger, you want to know, so are they going to pay me for the last 9 years? No. The law was written.
No.
The law was written.
Go ahead.
That the benefits would be paid starting year end 2023. So in other words, according to the way the law itself was written, they should give you one-time payment to gross you up for 2024. But I know so well how Social Security systems are so messed up. I have a feeling that they will say it will start for 2025. But we'll have to see what happens. We have a new Social Security commissioner coming
in. Good question and interesting answer, Terry. Thank you. Ginger, good luck. We will continue in a minute.
Can I say one more?
No. Hold on. Just please put her on hold. We have to do some business here. I don't want to run out of time for the hour. So we'll continue in a minute with Terry Savage. Right now, though, we've got a Business Minute with Dave Schwann.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. MasterCard Spending Pulse is reporting holiday sales rose at a faster pace from a year earlier. Sales from last month through Christmas Eve climbed 3.8%, up from 3.1% last year. Spending Pulse tracks all kinds of payments, including cash and debit cards. As the year ends, mortgage rates are up. Freddie Mac reports the average 30-year fixed mortgages were at 6.85% for the week ending yesterday. That's higher than the year's average, despite several rate cuts by the Fed. Japan's Nippon Steel is extending the closing period of its purchase of U.S. steel to the first quarter of next year. President Biden's expected to make a decision on the nearly $15 billion deal after the Committee on Foreign Investment couldn't decide on whether the sale poses a security risk. That sale would include U.S. Steel's Gary, Indiana Works. That's your Wintrust Business Minute. I'm Dave Schwann.
Just a few seconds left with Terry Savage before we get into the newsroom. Terry, your last thoughts as we're closing out the new year, or the old year.
I'll end where I started. This is a great opportunity. This weekend it's quiet. You've got New Year's Eve and a slow week the following New Year's. Look, the latest column at TerrySavage.com, get organized. If you're still living with paper, go get some envelopes or file folders and put the list of your bills and a list of the things that you have to do and your tax stuff. Get it organized for next spring. But if you really want to get in touch with all your money, I'm going to suggest you download a program called Quicken Simplify. It's a one-step online way to track your checking, your savings, your bills. You can do it even if you don't love computers. Go to quicken.com and download Simplify. By the way, if you're 73 or older, your December statements are the basis for next year's RMD. They'll be coming in the next couple of weeks. Add up all your IRAs. That's the amount that will determine your distribution for your RMD if you're over 73 or become 73 this year. And while you're at it, one last thing. Why don't you check your beneficiaries of each one of those retirement accounts? I have so many funny stories about, but I forgot to change. Yeah, my ex-wife, well, I set this up so many years ago, this IRA. So it's easy to change your beneficiary. You don't need a lawyer. Just go online at your website for your IRA or call the custodian and give the name of the person you want to name or a secondary beneficiary. Make sure your beneficiaries are all lined up, also with your life insurance. That doesn't impact your estate plan. And finally, if this was the year you said, okay, what, next year I'm going to get this done, I'm going to do an estate plan, if you go to TerrySavage.com on the homepage on the right, I did a little video. It's about 20 minutes about wills and revocable living trust. That will explain it all to you so you'll be prepared to get your estate plan done this year.
Happy New Year, Terry Savage.
Happy New Year, a happy, healthy, and prosperous one to everyone.